This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How the tax prep people at H&R Block started offering medical checkups of a different kind.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The tax prep company H&R Block releases its profits report later today. And this year, the company has to thank more than the IRS for its earnings as H&R Block moves to help people with their obligations under the health care reform law. Marketplace's David Weinberg has the story.
The Affordable Care Act has changed the economy in a lot of ways, many of which will become apparent when people file their taxes this year.
Presumably low and middle income households are where the action is on this issue of health insurance and tax filing.
Bill Gale is a tax policy expert at the Brookings Institution. Many of the people signing up for health care for the first time are from low and middle income households. This is the same segment of the population that makes up the bulk of H&R Block's customers. Customers whose satisfaction is directly tied to the size of their tax refund, which could be smaller if they don't sign up for health care.
You would pay a penalty of $285 for not enrolling.
And, says economist Nicole Smith, that penalty gets larger each year. There are, of course, subsidies available. They're based on income. All of this means that filing taxes...
it's going to be complicated, especially this first year.
Companies like H&R Block owe much of their existence to the complicated nature of filing taxes. And now, with health care thrown into the mix, their services have expanded accordingly. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
Protests against the police killings in Ferguson, Missouri, and Staten Island, New York, turned violent in Northern California last night. What started out as a peaceful protest in Berkeley devolved, and at least one shop window was smashed. When a protester tried to stop the vandalism, somebody hit him with a hammer. Meanwhile, after two grand juries declined to indict two police officers in the killings of unarmed black people, a variety of public policy responses are under consideration. Among them, having more police wear video cameras, handing these investigations to special prosecutors, and working to ensure that police forces are more racially diverse. Nova Safo reports on the challenge of that last one.
If you want to look at demographic changes in police departments in this country, David Skolansky of Stanford Law School says you have to consider a time span going back to the late 60s.
What you see is enormous change, enormous progress, but uneven progress and incomplete progress.
Skolansky says many departments, especially in bigger cities, have forces that more closely reflect their communities now compared to 50 years ago. And that's led to cultural changes within police departments.
Departments, as they've diversified, have become more dynamic, lively places where there's much more discussion and much greater range of opinions voiced.
And yet, in New York, where the police department is the most diverse it's ever been, it's easy to find a pretty grim view of the NYPD.
There is no relationship.
There is no relationship.
Not at all.
Not at all.
A lot of distrust.
I met Terrell Jones on a subway train. He was headed to an Eric Garner protest. Jones can trace his experience with the New York police all the way back to the 70s when he was a teenager.
Me being a man of color, I can remember when I was young, I was beat up by the police for just sitting on my block. And then nothing has changed. It just got worse.
Adding more minority officers to the rank and file doesn't necessarily improve the relationship with the community, says Nelson Lim. He's with the RAND Center on Quality Policing.
The scientific literature on minority officers' behavior, whether they're substantively different from white officers, literature is mixed.
What is clear, Lim says, is that having a diverse workforce makes it easier for police departments to change their tactics. The key ingredient, Lim says, is leadership both from politicians and police managers.
I cannot overemphasize the leadership. They develop good relationship with minority communities, you will see the change.
Lim says that kind of change takes time and concerted effort. In New York, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
All right. What is your opinion on Cubism? Today, stock in a Massachusetts drug company called Cubist was up 35% in early trading today. Merck wants to buy them for more than $8 billion. The World Health Organization worries aloud about drug-resistant bacteria ruining medicine as we know it. Cubist Pharmaceuticals has special know-how in medicines that treat drug-resistant bugs. Stock in Merck, with all that money it was laying out, was down 0.33% again in early trading. The vestigial Congress, known as the lame duck, has no shortage of things to do before the end of this year, such as figuring out how to keep the government up and running after a Thursday deadline. That's the backdrop of a recent report from the Pew Research Center that found that lame duck sessions are shouldering more of the legislative workload than they used to. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Congress has to figure out how to fund the government. There's a defense bill. There are tax breaks set to expire.
Pretty important stuff being left to the very last minute.
Sarah Binder teaches political science at George Washington University. She says lame duck sessions have become more important in an era of stopgap spending bills.
They provide that final deadline, right? An action-forcing deadline.
Pew says productivity may increase as a Congress winds down, but Linda Fowler, a government professor at Dartmouth, says there are consequences to, say, budgeting at the last minute.
Government can't plan when it doesn't know how much money it has to spend.
According to Mark Peterson, a public policy professor at UCLA, this lame duck session is going to seem productive.
The Congress during the regular session came close to doing nothing. So the proportionality of actually getting work done is going to look more impressive.
Thanks in part to how much time lawmakers spent on recess campaigning to stay in Congress. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And authorities in India's capital, Delhi, have shut down Uber, the smartphone-controlled ride service, this after an Uber driver there appeared in court on suspicion of sexually assaulting a passenger. Uber uses amateur drivers who use their own vehicles, and among the questions here is the quality of Uber's background checks. The driver in the Delhi case had been detained a few years ago for raping one of his taxi passengers, but he settled with the victim and was never convicted in the earlier case. Uber, based in California, is pledging to help authorities with the investigation and to work with officials to restore its permission to operate in Delhi. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.